Morning. Welcome to all those that join us for Likutei Halachos, Feshen Mishpat, Chelek Sheni, Hilchos Priketeina, Halacha Dalet. We're in the middle of paragraph Chaf Gimel. We're up to a sub-paragraph, Vizehu Goydel HaMitzvah LoHoilid Bonin. Today's learning is dedicated, Lilui Nishmas, Yacha Bas Rebeli Ochayim Halevi, Nachman Shimshon, Bereb Avraham Ephraim Yisrael, and Reb Chaim Yitzchok, Reb Yaakov Gershon, whose yahrzeits are today on Gimel Adar. V'sehu goydel hamitzvah lohoilid bonin. Based on what we've been learning till now, we'll be able to understand the incredible mitzvah of bringing children into the world. Kedei sheyisrabu Yisrael midor ledor, so that the Jewish nation should expand from generation to generation, should continue to grow. V'chulam yaskimu ledas achas. And again, the most important thing is that all of us are united in one idea, which is lahamin ba'achdusoy haposhut yisborah, to believe in the oneness of Hashem. Ki ikar shinui hapu'ulois hu shinui deos. Because one of the most important forms of diversity is the different opinions that everybody has. Because even though the world is full of every kind of diversity you could imagine, the most important thing in the world is the difference, the wondrous differences between people. No two people are exactly alike, not in how they look and not in their movements. And the main thing is the different opinions and the different ideas that everybody has. That's where we really see the wonders of Hashem. Because this isn't a very important rule. Hashem never duplicates the same thing twice. Whenever he's making another one, there's got to be something unique, something different about it. And therefore, no two things in creation are identical. And no two people look exactly alike. And especially no two people think exactly alike. And so too, no generation is the same as a previous generation. Vafilu avu ben ein deyosem shavos. And even a father and a son, where you would say, what do you mean? The son comes from the brain of the father, a droplet from the... So he's got to be thinking alike, right? Not true. V'yesh b'neim shinuyim rabim. There are many differences between them. Kenira b'chush, as we see in real life. Because although parents and children sometimes are very similar in certain ways, however, regarding how they think, there are many, many differences. And from the time of creation till the end of time, there never were and there never will be two people that are literally identical. Not in one generation, not in two generations. Nimtza, therefore we conclude, kol ma shenoy ladeza hoylodo, that every time a new child is born, it's something different. And when all of these births, all of these children being born in all of these generations, all agree with one point, and they believe in the pure, simple oneness of Hashem, ze ikar his galus achdus haposhut mitapulos mishtanos harbe moed. That's a perfect example of Achdus HaPoshut being revealed from tremendous variety and diversity of Pulois Mishtanois. Shezeh Yokor Be'enov Yisporach Moed. And Rabbeinu Zal pointed out towards the end of chapter 2 in the second half of Likutey Moharan, which this halacha is based on, that that's very precious to Hashem. When many are agreeable to one item, when many who are different are able to agree with one item. V'alkein mitzvah gedoyla lehoyled, and therefore it's a major mitzvah to bring new children into the world, sheyisrabu bnei Yisrael b'yoser, so that the Jewish nation should expand and grow. And all members of the Jewish nation are nichlal, become part of the oneness of Hashem. This brings about a tremendous increase to Hashem's kavod. As a result of these many diverse, different ones that are different in many, many ways, and the differences from generation to generation, and all of this is nichlal in the oneness of Hashem. Shezeh yokor be'enov yisporach moed. This is very, very precious and special to Hashem. V'ato mevoyer heitev mashikosav betchilas haTorah. And now, what we just spoke about is all the way towards the end of that chapter on Likutey Moharan. Rav Nosson says, now we'll be able to understand very well what Rabbeinu Zal writes towards the beginning of that chapter. Shechiber bechinas toida halacha im hoylada, where Rabbeinu Zal put together three major ideas, three major concepts. The concept of toida, thanksgiving, the concept of talacha, and the concept of choylada, giving birth. Mizmor lesoida hariu Hashem kol haaretz. That sentence has in it all of these three things. Toida, Mizmor the toida, the thanksgiving. The first letters of hariu Hashem kol haaretz spell the word halacha. And lesoida is also the letters choylada. To give birth. And over there in the beginning of that chapter in Likutey Moharan, Rabbeinu Zal expounds on this. Because all three of these are very much tied together. They're all one. Toida, halacha, mizgala achdus mishtanois. Because as we've explained throughout this halacha, through a combination of thanksgiving and new halachos, that helps to reveal the oneness of Hashem from within diversity. And we just showed how every new child that's born also is an example of the Achdus HaPoshut from within the Pulois Mishtanos. And therefore, based on what we're learning here, we understand why Bein Koidem Labas, when it comes to inheritance, a son goes before a daughter. Ki ikar klolis hapulis mishtanis b'achdus haposhut v'al yedei habein. Because the main joining together of the diversity with the oneness is being accomplished through a male child. Shehu somoch b'yoser la'achdus haposhut kanal. He is closer to that oneness. We explained in the previous shiur that Hashem created man. Adam, man, male, was the closest thing to the Achdus HaPoshut, to Hashem, to the oneness. From man, Hashem created the woman. That's another step removed. That's a little bit further away from the Achdus HaPoshut. And it's through the connection to the man that the woman is able to rise up with him and also be connected to the Achdus HaPoshut. Bebechinas, as the Gemara says in Ksubas, Isha oilo imoy. The woman goes up with the man. There, the Gemara is speaking about different standards of living. That if a woman comes from a home that's poorer and the husband comes from a home that's wealthier, he can't say, well, you come from a poor home anyway, so I don't have to give you expensive stuff like my family is used to. No. Isha Oila Imoy. She goes up with him. Whatever in whatever ways he's higher than her, he's got to lift her up, pick her up to that higher standard, that higher place. Sheze Iker Tachlis Hachibur Bigdusha. And this is the ultimate union of holiness, Bishvil Hailadas Yisrael, between a husband, a male and female, in order to bring children into the world. Sheho Iker. And the main goal is that the diversity should be nichlal to reveal the oneness from within the diversity. But all of this is being driven through the man. And therefore, he is first in line regarding inheritance, the male versus the female. While we're on the topic, just to make sure to include that the rabbis instituted that even though from the written Torah we get the impression that this is the order. A father passes away, if there's a son, of their sons, everything goes to the sons. The daughters, they don't get anything. If there's no sons, then the daughters get. But the rabbis instituted that for the sake of showing, so that there shouldn't be machlokes among the children, there shouldn't be negative feelings, major negative feelings from the daughters to the sons, that usually it's good for inheritance to be left for all the children equally, unless there's some exceptional reasons otherwise. But usually for this, the overriding factor is shalom. Their main way bas, what if a person passes away and he had no sons and no daughters? Then the inheritance moves up the ladder. It goes up to his father, the father of the one who passed away. This is similar in concept to what Rabbeinu Zal speaks about in the beginning of that chapter in Likut Imran, that when a woman is in pregnancy and she's getting closer to the time of birth, the blood from the feet rises up to the area from which she needs to give birth. There's a gathering of blood there. And then after she gives birth, the blood recedes. It goes back to its regular position. So Rav Nosson Zal says here, this concept of the Yerusha, first, the normal channel is it for it to go down from father to son or from the father to the daughter. But if there are no sons, there are no daughters, the Yerusha goes up in the reverse direction. This is the concept of the blood returning when there's a crisis. The blood rushes up to the heart, like Rabbeinu Zal said there. And when the person gets out of the crisis, when the crisis is over, when the person is saying thanksgiving and generating halachas, and which said it's also the concept of when there's a birth, then the blood recedes, it goes back. Shehin bechinas mamoin, and damim in Hebrew means blood. Damim also means money. Rabbeinu Zal spoke about the supporters of Torah. And then the blood goes back to flowing normally within the feet. As Rabbeinu Zal explains over there, and Rabbeinu Zal showed there also that the feet of the Torah are the supporters of Torah, those who toimchi orais, as he referred to them. But when a person is not soichet to a birth, then that person is still in crisis mode. There was a pregnancy, the blood gathered up, but there's no birth. We said when there's a crisis, the blood rises up from the feet towards the heart. And this is why there's a famous statement in the Gemara in Bava Basra where the Gemara says, "Kol she'enoy maniach ben liyorshoi hakadosh baruch hu mismalei olav evra." Any person who doesn't leave behind a son to inherit them when they leave the world, Hashem is filled with anger towards that person. The word evra means anger, and the word evra bechinas keisha ubara, like a woman who is pregnant when the blood is gathering, that those dinim. Because when a person is not soicha to produce a son to inherit them, nisharu hadamim lamala, then the blood remains gathered up above by the heart. Shezeo bechinas ibur beloy hoylota chashon. This is the concept of a pregnancy without a birth. Shemishom kol hatzorais rachmona litzlan, and that's where all the problems come from. And therefore, when there's no son or daughter, the inheritance goes to the person's father. The father and any brothers or sisters that he has. We're talking about the father of the deceased. They need to try to repair the soul of this person who died by them receiving the money of which the main tikkun is to be a supporter of Torah. As we said, and this is why the father of the deceased receives before any of his kids, before any of the brothers or sisters of the deceased. Because you have to first go up to the father, because again, he represents the origin of where this nachla came from. This person who passed away, he received from his father. Now we understand the story in the Torah where it tells us that there was a person, Slavchad, who died and he didn't have any sons. And the question was, who does the inheritance go to? So his daughters, the daughters of Slavchad, came to Moshe Rabbeinu and said, just because our father didn't have any sons, so his possessions are going to go out of the family? Why? Why shouldn't we get it? And the Gemara tells us, they said to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Im einonu chashuvay zera, if we don't count as children, if you're going to say that the inheritance goes now to his brothers or to his father, tisyabe mimenu, then our mother should require yibum. When a person dies without having had any children, the person's wife has to go through a procedure of yibum." Because this is really the concept behind Yibum and Chalitza, to provide a tikkun for the person who passed away. And the Arizal explains this is the secret behind when Yehuda's sons married Tamar, one after another, first Er, and he sinned, and Hashem killed him. And then Oinon, and he sinned, and Hashem killed him. And then it was necessary for Yehuda, their father, to be Meyabim Tamar. Yehuda's relationship with Tamar, the Arizal explains, was a form of Yibum, even though he wasn't a brother of Er Voinon. Just like Yerusha, when it can't go down, it goes up. Ki ikar hatikun alidei hoylodas habonim. Because one of the most important tikkunim in Judaism is to produce children. Lahachnis haneshomois b'toich gufim daika, which means we're taking a soul and bringing it, putting it into a body. Because we have the famous Gemara that says Moshiach cannot come until all the neshamos have been placed into bodies. As it says in Uvo Letzion, which we say every single morning, Uvo Letzion Goyel, the Redeemer, Moshiach will come, Uleshavei Fesha B'Yakov, to remove all sin from the Jewish people, Ne'um Hashem, Va'ani Zois Brisi Oysam. And the Arizal says, take a look at the first letters of those words, Goyel Shehu Roshei Tevois, Guf Bonav. The first letters of Goyel Ulashove Fesha spell the word Guf. The first letters of the following words, Beyakov Noam Hashem Vani, spell the word Bonav. The bodies of your children. That's what will bring the Geula, as is brought in the Kisvei Arizal, Ayin Shom. Ki daiko kisha haneshamois, shem chilek el kamimal. Bechinas achdus ha-poshut, kishehem nimshochem letosh gufim gashmien, shein bechinas pu'ulois mishunois ma'oin, because it's specifically when a neshama that is part of Hashem, it's part of that achdus ha-poshut, when that gets drawn into a physical body, which is pu'ulois mishunois, a human body is a very different meaning, shebeguf echot yesh kamei vorim v'koiches v'chushim v'abro yisem shun ramayim. In one body, there are thousands or maybe millions of different things. You have the four elements, and you have all, again, the different organs, the hands, the feet, the eyes, the ears, all the different things. Shekishchol elu hagufim mevat lenatzma legabi haneshama. I'm sorry, v'cholshkein ben guf leguf. And as many differences as there are within one body, there's a whole new set of differences from one body to the next body, how different they are. Kishikol elu hagufim mevat lenatzman legabi haneshama, and when all of these bodies nullify themselves and get their guidance from the neshama that's inside of them, va'omrim kulam b'lev echad, and they all say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And thereby they connect and become part of Hashem's oneness. Ze ikar hisgalus achdus haposhut mitoch pulos mishtanes. This is one of the best examples of the oneness being brought forth from the diversity. Sheze yokor ma'oid etzlo yisborach, which again is very precious to Hashem. V'al kein kishanefesh. V'haruach, v'chulu, it's an neshama. Bo l'zeh ho'ilam. When these spiritual things come down to the world, ve'enoy mislabesh beguf chas v'sholem, and they don't go into a physical body, hu pegam godol v'otzum ma'oid rachmonoslan. That's a tremendous, tremendous sin. That causes tremendous damage. Ki tekev kishanefesh bo l'zeh ho'ilam. Because the moment that a soul comes into this physical materialistic world, shehu meruba beklipos, this world is full of klipos. This is the olam ha'asiyah, the lowest one of all the worlds. This world is compared to the feet, as we'll see. Ha'oretz hadoim ragloim, and the klipos attach themselves to the feet, to the bottom of the feet. That's why we have to wear shoes and socks. Hayodua, as is known in the Kisvei Arizal, Azai hem ne'echozim bo moed. These klipos try to attach themselves very solidly to this nefesh, umamshichen oisel l'toch ribui hashinuyim desitra achra, and they try to draw that soul into all of the diversity of the sitra achra. Hey, come with us. We'll show you the world. Hanechozim ba'pulos mishtanos shel zeh oilam, all the diversity of sitra achra, which is attached to all the diversity of the physical materialistic world. Ve'eino yecholal lalois likol ha'poshut, and now this nefesh can't rise up and connect to that oneness. Ki mizeh ha'oilam i efsher la'hanefesh shetala v'tuchlal b'achdus ha'poshut. Because from this world, this physical world, it's impossible for a nefesh to connect to the Achdus HaPoshut unless it's inside of a body. When the nefesh was put inside of a body, then that nefesh was put into the epitome of pu'ulois mishtanois, and then that nefesh has the ability to rise up and to connect to that ultimate oneness by doing mitzvahs. Because this is why Hashem created man. Im kol Ha'olam HaToliboy, and the entire world that's connected to man, Begufim Gashmiim. That's why he created us with physical bodies. Kedeshedaika mitachlis Hagashim horochoikemoid moid menisbara, Mishom daika yuchlubatusisbara. So that from the epitome of Gashmius, from the epitome of diversity, we have the ability to be nichlal, to join together with the oneness of Hashem. Sheze ikar kevodai. This is the greatest honor to Hashem. Any questions? The Gemara, Ein ben David bo ad sheyichlu kol haneshumah shebeguf. Moshiach cannot come until all the souls of the bodies will be completed. Now, the wording here is a little bit awkward. And there's a reason for that. There's, I believe, I'm sure it's the Arizal also who says that there's a place in heaven called Guf. And that's where the neshamos are stored. And that's why it says Moshiach cannot come until all the neshamos that are in Guf, in this location, are used up, meaning they're sent down to the world to. But Rav Nosson Zal here is giving us the simpler translation, based on the Arizal also, that Mashiach cannot come until a certain number of children have been born, until all the neshamos have been sent down into bodies so that they can accomplish their mission, so that they can be makar of the geula. Through this process of the pu'ulos brings of shining forth the achdus haposhut from the pu'ulos mishtanos.
It's a little bit of a side point regarding inheritance. So the Torah says that a parent should give their inheritance to their children, the sons, the daughters. Right? Like we just said, I've heard of people giving they've set aside their inheritance for their grandchildren. Is that something that's praiseworthy, or is it really the money should go to the children, and the children will take care of the grandchildren?
I believe it's okay. I believe it's perfectly okay if grandparents, just like the mitzvah of Shinan Tom Levanecha, to teach Torah to your children, and there's a mitzvah to teach Torah to your grandchildren. Here also, grandchildren are considered like children. If parents want to be sure that they want their ratzon to be fulfilled, I believe it's okay. Paragraph Chafei, V'alkein Hamalachim Hitrigu Al Bria Sodom. And based on this, we'll be able to understand why, when Hashem was deciding whether to go ahead with the creation of man or not to create, there were malachim who were against the creation of man. Va'amru, they said, Mo enosh ki siskareno. Hashem, why in the world do you want to have human beings who are going to give you problems and they're going to commit sins? V'chein kitrugu al nesinas haTorah liYisrael bozeh olam. And so too we find when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to heaven to get the Torah, to bring down the Torah to the world, there were malachim again that were complaining. Asher t'nohoid chal haShamayim, Hashem, your beauty belongs up here in heaven, not down there where they're going to do all kinds of sins. Ki amru asher t'nohoid chal haShamayim. Ki bevadai kol hamalachim hein bechinas pu'ulois mishtanois negdo yisborach. Listen to what Rav Nosson Zal says here now. We need to understand always that everything is relative. The angels, who don't have bodies, so they don't have our diversity. They're purely spiritual. So you would say an angel is the closest thing to Hashem in many ways. But Rav Nosson Zal says here, even though they are completely spiritual, compared to Hashem himself, they are still in the category of pe'ulos mishtanos. We know that there are angels to the right and there are angels to the left. And there are angels with different, diverse missions. There's Gavriel and there's Michoel and there's Raphael. So the angels, compared to Hashem, are a concept of pe'ulos mishtanos. Ki hu yisborach lemalo mikol haruchnius. Because Hashem is above all the spiritual levels, even, and above all the angels. Al kein sovru, therefore, the angels thought, Shegam al yodam yizgala achdus haposhut mitoch pulois mishtanos. We are also an example of Pulois Mishtanais. And if we show respect to Hashem through our serving Hashem, through the angels serving Hashem, that's also a beautiful example of Pulois Mishtanais being Nichla Anachtos HaPashot. Sheze Iker Tachles Brias HaAdam Unesinas HaTorah. And we said that was one of the main goals in creating man and giving the man the Torah. So they thought, no problem, we could accomplish the same exact things up here. However, Hashem challenged them and Hashem got angry at them. Hashem refused to listen to them. Gashmi, and he created us human beings with physical bodies. And he gave us this Torah in this physical, materialistic world. Ki ikar his galus achdus haposhut. Because the greatest revelation of the oneness of Hashem is when it's coming from the greatest amount of diversity. Shehem bnei Adam, which is human beings, hamalu boshim beguf gashmi daika, whose souls are cloaked in these physical bodies that have so many different parts and so many different behaviors. And Rav Nussbaum says, with this, we could understand the extreme severity of the sin of chas v'shalom wasting seed, where a man generates seed, and that seed, it doesn't enter into a woman. It's not being used to try to produce children. Ki oz nivroim ruchin v'chulu beloi guf. Because the Sifrei Kabbal explain, when that happens, it means that spiritual things are being pulled down into this world, ruach yisena, and they don't have a body to go into. Machmas hatipa, because the droplet wasn't placed inside of a religious woman. Mimena, so that it should be able to produce a Jewish child. And we've explained here that that's one of the greatest forms of Achdus HaPoshut coming from Pu'ulois Mishtanois, when a child is born. But when that droplet, when that seed is wasted, it's not going into a body. It brings down all kinds of spiritual things that aren't going into bodies and that are in a very, very bad state. Whereby there, it's very difficult that there should be any revelation of the oneness of Hashem. The Alkane, and therefore, the Arizal tells us again, Iker hatikun lazeh, ha'idei kriya shma shel hamita. One of the most powerful things that a person could do to correct this sin, to correct chas v'shalom seed that was wasted, is by reciting kriya shma al hamita. With kavana, shehu bechinat. There's a pasuk, roimem oiskel begroinam. They praise Hashem with their throats, v'cheref pifiyos biyadam, and they carry a double-edged sword in their hands. And the Arizal and the Zohar HaKadosh explain that that sword can destroy the mazikin, the negative forces that were created and empowered through this sin of wasting seed, chas v'shalom. Reciting Kriya Shema is a major example of revealing the oneness of Hashem. Listen, entire Jewish nation. Hashem Echad. The real accomplishment is when a person is zoicha to say Kriya Shma Lamita with such kavana, ad she'oisin gufen lahatipois, to the point where they're reciting Kriya Shma that way can generate bodies into which those droplets that were wasted should be able to go into. Kimavur b'kavana, says the Arizal, actually speaks about this in the Pri Etz Chaim. V'al kein, and therefore, be'emes, the truth is, Iker hatikun al yedei hatzadike yemes. The main way of fixing this is through the true tzaddikim. Kishezoichen lehiskarev lohem, when a person is zoicha to come close to them, because they are the holiest, purest, they are the ones who are strongest in tikkun habris, and when it comes to repairing, they're the ones who have the greatest knowledge and ability to repair, to fix. However, regardless, it says clearly in the writings of the Arizal, she'efsher lesaknam kiyem alidei shemachnisem oisam letot bechinas gufim, that it's impossible to really repair the damage that was done through this sin without being able to place those droplets into bodies. Ayin shom, take a look over there in the Pri Etz Chaim in Hilchos Kriyas Shma Lamita. Hainu Kanal, as we said before. Question in the chat, why should a man be allowed to be with his wife when she's pregnant or too old to bring new life if the tikkun of this union is only that of bringing new life into the world? But isn't the above also Zer Levatov? The answer is definitely not. Meaning, as long as a husband and wife are together bekashrus, following the laws of the Torah, the guidelines of the Torah, even if she cannot produce, even if that's not going to produce a child because she's pregnant already, or even if chas v'shalom she can't produce a child, the Sifrei HaKabbal explain there is kedusha, there are holy things taking place, there are major, major good things taking place. It's only chas v'shalom when it's being wasted intentionally, chas v'shalom, when a person's taking action that zera should not go into a holy place. Either it should go chas v'shalom into an unholy place, or chas v'shalom to be wasted. That's when this damage takes place.
Question. So, according to this logic, are we saying that chas v'shalom by the chilanim, it's zera levitala even when they're with their wife? Is that what the Ari HaKadosh is saying?
It's not literally Zera Levatola, unless the seed is literally being wasted. But if they're going against the rules of the Torah, for example, they're together at a time that they're not allowed to be together and that kind of thing, then there's problems. There are problems. There are things that need major repair. Now we know, for example, Avraham Avinu's parents were not religious, and it's brought that they had made an agreement between them to be together only when she was impure. They were so impure that they, and again, the Satan wanted to block this holy neshama from coming into the world. But despite that, Hashem was able to bring this Avram Avinu, this holy, holy soul into the world, coming from such a place. But still, Yitzchak Avinu, on the other hand, whose parents were religious, Avram Avinu and Sarah Imenu, who conducted themselves Bikdusha, were told that Yitzchak Avinu is the first one to be born Bikdusha, coming from a place of Kedusha. So there are differences. This is a topic that's discussed at length in the Arizal. You know, the Arizal is the one who revealed tremendous information and tremendous secrets about what's going on with all of this. We know the Gemara says, Hizaru mibnei amaoretz, be careful to treat with respect the children of amehoretz. Amehoretz means people who are not learned, sometimes people who are not religious. Shemehem teitzei Torah. We see in our generation thousands of people, Talmidei Chachamim, and all kinds of quality people whose parents or grandparents were not religious, were not observant, and yet zoicha to bring children into the world that are giants. V'zeh b'chinas asura kapitel tehillim shetiken admur zal omram bishvil tiken zeh. And with this also we could understand the special 10 chapters of Tehillim that Rabbeinu Zal established that should be said specifically, especially to correct even this sin, which the Zohar HaKadosh says that there's no way to repair this. And Rabbeinu Zal said that the reciting of these 10 chapters of Tehillim can repair even this issue of Zera Levatola, Mikra Laila Chas V'Shalom. Ki heim bechinas yud minei negina, because these 10 chapters represent the 10 types of song, bechinas shir poshut, kofel, mishulash, meruba, which we touched on a few pages ago. The concept of the song that comes from yud, yud kei, yud kei vav, yud kei vav kei, a single one letter, then two letters, then three letters, then four letters. Adding that up, it's 10, a total of 10 letters. Shaideze iker hisgalus achdus haposhut mitoch pulois. By activating these 10 types of song, this sheer poshut, this is also brings about an incredible high-level revelation of the oneness coming from the Pu'ulois Mishtanois. Vze, and with this we understand the Pasuk in Eicha, Ato Hashem, Le'olam Teshev, Kisacho Ledor Hador. You, Hashem, will eternally be seated on your throne from generation to generation. What's the from generation to generation? Kikvar mavor lamala. We already explained previously. Sheikr tikun kisoy leshev olav v'alidei toida halacha. That some of the most important factors that establish Hashem's throne, that establish Hashem as king seated on the throne, are this combination of toida, thanksgiving, and halacha, tefillah and Torah. That brings about a revelation of this oneness. And therefore, as a result of another generation and another generation and another generation of Jews coming into the world, we're preparing and refining the throne of Hashem for Hashem to be seated on it. Bechinas kisacho ledor vador daika, your throne from generation to generation. Ki daika lidei hoilodas hadoirois, mizgale achdus haposhut mitoch pulois mishtanois, because it's especially as a result of a new generation being born, children and grandchildren and great-grand, another generation, other generation. That's one of the fantastic examples of the achdus haposhut being revealed from the pulois mishtanois. V'zeh bechinas, and with this we understand ki yod. Next Shabbos is going to be Parsha Zohar. We're going to read Parsha Zohar, the Parsha before Purim, the holiday of Purim. We read Parsha Zohar, where we're going to be reading these words. Ki yod al keis ka, Hashem places his hand on his throne in a form of an oath, swearing, Milchomel Hashem b'Amalek midor dor, to carry on the battle against Amalek from generation to generation. Shenishba HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem has sworn, She'ein Shmoy Shalom, Shalom, Ve'ein Kisoy Shalom, Ein Shmoy Ve'Kisoy Shalom, Ad She'imoche Zechramoy, that Hashem's name and throne are incomplete until every last trace of Amalek will be wiped out. Note it says, Ka, Yud Hey instead of the Hashem's full name, and it says, Case instead of Kisei. Ki Amalek hu bechinas koifer, kemuva b'makom acher. Rabbeinu Zal explains in chapter 19 in Likutey Moharan that Amalek was an atheist, a denier of Hashem, an atheist, a non-believer. Shemizgaber tomid bekfirus ubilbuli emuna, who tries to battle the Jewish people by causing us to deny Hashem and to mess up our emunah. And he is constantly doing battle against the true tzaddikim and the religious people that are close to the tzaddikim, who are trying to reveal the oneness of Hashem from the diversity. And the way, one of the ways that we accomplish this, that is by bringing a new generation into the world, more children, new children and grandchildren. That this faith in Hashem should be passed down from generation to generation. Those are the closing words of the chapter in Tehillim, on which that whole Likutei Moran, that whole chapter on Likutei Moran, and that whole halacha is based on. Mizmor LeSoda, Shemedaber Mikol Zeh. That chapter speaks about all of this, Kimavura Batarnal, as is explained in chapter 2 in the second half of Likutei Moran. Shaydei Zeh Ikar Hachonas Kisoi. This is how we prepare Hashem's throne. V'alkein Amalek shepoigim b'chol zeh, and therefore Amalek, who's the antithesis of all of this, who's against all of this, ein shmoy yisborach v'kisoy sholem ad sheyemochazer Amalek. Hashem's name and throne are not complete until Amalek will be wiped out. Ki ikra tikkun hakisei b'shleimus. Is galus achdus haposhut, because once again, Rav Nosson says one of the main contributing factors in preparing the throne for Hashem is this revelation of the oneness from within the diversity, which we bring about by through every new generation, the throne from generation to generation. Amalek, who just tries to destroy all of this, he's against all of this. Therefore, Hashem wages battle against Amalek from generation to generation. V'zehu ki yod al kes kol melchama shem amalek midor dor she'ein kisei kaviyach l'shalem ad she'yenatzeach melchamtoi ba'amalek b'chol dor v'dor. The throne of Hashem is not complete until this battle against Amalek is won in each and every generation. She'oz yiskayim, and when that's accomplished, we'll see the fulfillment of the words v'Hashem le'olam yeshiv. Hashem will be seated eternally on his throne and provide mishpat, true health, the right kind of judgment. Sheyeh Hashem Shalem, the Kisei Shalem. That's when the name of Hashem and his throne will be complete. Kama Shapirish Rashi, like Rashi points out over there. Ki Yushlam Kisei Alidei Haksherim Shebechol Hadoiris. The throne of Hashem will be completed through the religious people in all the generations. Bebechinas kisacha ledor vador. And that it's going to require, and nobody knows. Nobody knows when we're going to hit the finish line. So each and every person has to strive to bring children into the world, and that those children should bring children into the world. And again, children meaning that believe in Hashem. That's the most important thing. To Lador Vador Nagid Godlecha, Vador Vador Emunosoi. Hashem, there are births, Baruch Hashem, just this week in my own circle. In Muncie, a woman, Negina Miriam Basara, gave birth to a baby boy. There'll be a Shalom Zohar this Friday night. And here in Eretz Yisrael, Baruch Hashem, a family that struggled very, very, very hard to make Aliyah. They had every obstacle in the world. And they won recently. And the mother, Yocheved Shulamas Bas Blima, gave birth to a baby girl. Baruch Hashem, we should be zeicha to births and weddings and simchas and refuahs and yeshuas and the geula shleima b'mehera b'yameinu, amen v'yamein.